Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, retired from the Las Vegas Metro Police Department, also the founder of the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. So thanks for being on the show, Lieutenant. We also have Jeff Nicholas. He is the CEO of Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. They're also our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we're on satellite radio right now. And they, of course, our favorite product that they have, it's called The Glove. More information coming up about that fantastic product. I see Scott giving the old fist pump on that one. We also have badass Scott Steyer, Green Beret of Special Forces background. And he did some time in a little outfit. Some people, you probably never heard of it, Delta Force, something like that. Force Delta, Delta Force, something like that. But anyhow, but when you talk to Scott, he's so humble. He'll just say, I was a mechanic in the Army. He's pretty cool. So thanks for being on the show, Scott. Appreciate it. And, a lot of us, we're all know each other. Like Scott and Jeff are good friends. And of course, Jeff and Randy are teaming up for this thing at SHOT Show coming up, this fundraiser that we're doing in January. So a lot of good stuff going on. So I feel like Cupid. I'm just blending, making relationships happen here. So, I love it. Hey, a shout out to our sponsors, our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com. Also, Compliant Technologies, as I already mentioned, our satellite sponsor. We have AeroPrecisionUSA.com. That is Scott's company, and they are our arms sponsor. And we're going to have to figure out something to do when Aero Precision's got their booth there at SHOT Show, too. Also, gunlearn.com, mymedicare.live, safeguardrecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to them, right now, the live show, we're streaming to over 1 million followers right now. Twobells.com, they built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. So you get cool shirts like the shirt that I'm wearing. Go to leoroundtable.com, which is our website, and you'll see an online shopping store there. And hey, the prices are cheap because I pay the exact same thing you guys pay. We don't pad the cost. It is like dirt cheap. We don't make a dime off of anything that we sell. We're just trying to get our name out there. Also, fishorlandobass.com. Zach has got a bass fishing charter in Orlando. So next time you go there with the wife and the kids or the grandkids, give them the credit card, let them go enjoy themselves and go hook up with Zach and do the bass fishing. Or if you're more adventurous, like the guys on the show here, hook up with Zach and do the alligator hunting, and you get the catch and relocate the wild Florida alligator. You have to leave the weapons at home.
Will you bait my hook for me?
Yeah, well, I bait your hook. Yeah, Scott will bait your hook. You'll be fish. You'll be gator bait, man. By the time you leave here, man, the Florida alligator. Hey, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also, Randy's friend Ray Dietrich with FormerLawman.com. Thanks, Ray, and also Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? We got some great topics, guys. The first one, DOJ says the DC pipe bomber case, it breaks open with an alleged confession from the bad guy. So we're going to be talking about that. Then we got four people, including the suspect, are dead after a crime spree in Moore in Oklahoma City. We've got Springfield police release body cam of a taser incident that leaves the suspect dead. It involves a face plant on concrete when the dude is tased. Then we got a judge orders 35. This is really tearing me up, Randy. A judge orders 31 unqualified NYPD rookies. And when I say unqualified, wait till you guys hear what these guys have done. They are getting reinstated as per the judge after, the agency's NYPD firing them. Wow. And then we have a body cam footage showing it's a Missouri State Highway Patrol trooper who located two kidnapped children on I-70. This is what it's all about, guys. We need more videos like this. So if you guys are ready, let's go ahead and start with the first topic. We don't have a main topic today, but we have two updates, and then we have the three videos. So at rvmnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media News.com, the DOJ says the DC pipe bomb case, it breaks open with alleged confession. Now, remember, we talked about it before. I first started catching wind of this when I used to watch the Dan Bongino show. And, of course, nothing happened with the investigation. Then finally, Cash Patel and the FBI, you know, they got it done. And so this article says that federal prosecutors said that on Sunday, a man accused of planting the pipe bombs in Washington, D.C. on January the 5th of 2021, he told investigators that he felt compelled to speak up on behalf of police who believe that the 2020 presidential election was stolen. And he said that he targeted both major political parties, Democrats and Republicans, because they were both in charge of the nation's political system at the time. I don't like to read guys like this, they're bad names, so no need to do that. But he's arrested earlier this month in Woodbridge after they identified him. And he's being accused of placing these homemade explosive devices near the Capitol complex outside the headquarters for both the DNC and the RNC. Now, these were undetonated pipe bombs that were discovered on January 6th. So, again, we all know what happened January 6th, or the, quote, you know, Capitol riot. But these were planted the day before near the headquarters for both parties. And it kind of goes on to say that in Sunday's filing, prosecutors provided the most detailed government account to date of the allegations against the suspect, including statements that he made during interviews with investigators. So here's what we got. They actually found physical evidence, bomb-making materials at his house that directly link him to where these explosive devices were found. But, you know, he's confessing to doing this anyhow. So I don't know how much, you know, how exciting that is. But he initially denied any involvement in the pipe bomb placement. But later, they alleged that he confesses to placing the devices outside both the RNC and the DNC buildings. Prosecutors said that he denied that his actions were directly connected to the breach of the U.S. Capitol that happened, of course, the next day. Now, the memo states that the suspect told investigators that he was disillusioned by the outcome of the 2020 election and sympathetic to the claims made by Donald Trump and some of his allies that the election had been stolen. Prosecutors quoted the suspect as explaining that he believed someone needed to intervene to address public anger over the election. Let me just say, this is not an outlier, guys. There are people, including myself, that believe that is a very real thing. So I don't know where everybody's at on the show, and not, it doesn't really matter, but there is legitimate and verifiable information. You know, when I'm watching at the night of the election, watching Pam Bondi showing up, and they just want to observe what's going on. And then you have the people on the inside that are counting ballots. They're blocking the window so no one can even look in and stuff. And then you're just watching the amount of people that are voting these, 11 million, extra votes that just happened to materialize that didn't show up this last election, you know, and just all the things. So there's a lot of doubts that, I don't believe Trump lost that election, except, you know, physically, but I think that the voting, but I don't think it matters, because I much prefer him being president today than having been, 5 years ago. So moving along, we're still on the same topic, but prosecutors said that when agents returned the questions about his motive, he described a breaking point after consuming news coverage related to the politics and the election. They wrote that he said that he just snapped. He's watching everything, and everything was getting worse. He blamed both parties, but the memo detailed the suspect's explanation for choosing the locations where the devices were placed. He wanted to do something to both parties that were in charge at the time. And he said he didn't really like either party at that particular point. Prosecutors further stated that he told investigators that his decision to use pipe bombs was influenced by his interest in the historical conflict in Northern Ireland. And he's got a detention hearing scheduled for actually today in federal court in Washington. So he was hearing all the rhetoric about the election. And he thought that if it's really being rigged and screwed, which he had a tendency to believe, like a lot of Americans do, he didn't think that was fair. But guys like us, we don't go around building pipe bombs and planting them, you know, so this guy is definitely, you know, off his rocker, but still sane enough to stand trial, I think. So, Randy, commentary on this one.
Hey, well, he sucks as a bomb maker.
Yeah, two undetonated bombs, yeah.
The guy's inept. He's incompetent. So, I think the real commentary here is the ineptitude of the FBI under the previous administration, that they said that no new evidence was uncovered. They just went through the evidence that was there and they solved the crime. That's because they actually cared enough to solve the crime.
Yeah. Thank you.
There's usually more to this than meets the eye. I mean, the guy was also known to be, you know, he played with My Little Ponies or something like that. There's also a mental issue there. So I think there's a lot more to this than meets the eye when, you know, who knows what else they're sitting on. For whatever reason.
Yeah, I'd like to know, like, you know, and I don't know if we'll ever know, but I mean, to Randy's point, it did, you know, the bombs didn't go off, thank God. But also, I'd be curious to know, and it probably is very low level, I guess, tech in the bombs, but how were they made? You know, just all that stuff. Like, where did he get the knowledge? You know, it sounds like it was probably, he probably found it or read it or heard about it, but he, you know, he didn't know how to finish it out. But I just curious to know, like, where he got the knowledge and trace that and just to see if there's more to it.
Yeah, me too. Interesting. Well, guys, we're off to a good start. It's time for our first commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, as police officers, we know we can get our gear from a lot of different sources. And even when you throw the online option, it's like limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody about what's really important here. It's about supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know if a company does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And they're going to do you one better for the loyal listeners of the show. They've got a radio code that'll get you 15% off your next purchase until the end of the year, July the 31st. It's Radio 15. So type in Radio 15 next time you go to Gauls.com to make your purchase and get 15% off. And they have gift cards. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friends. You know, we give away a couple every week on the show, including today. Again, Gauls.com. And now it's time to talk about, you know, one of our favorites, Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. We've got Jeff on the show. It's his company. And of course, Compliant Technologies, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product we all know by now is called the Glove. It's helped, I used to say it's helped officers tens of thousands of times, but I think you're up to over 250 deployments now. And you heard that correctly. They've had no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. When it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove and ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already tuned nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most hands-on, common sense approaches that's ever come along, ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the Law Enforcement Talk Show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Lieutenant Randy Sutton from the Wounded Blue. We've got Jeff Nicholas from Compliant Technologies, Scott Steyert, and he is with AeroPrecisionUSA.com. So thanks, guys. I know we've been talking about the latest and greatest with the confession from our pipe bomber in the D.C. area. Any more commentary on that? Are you guys ready to roll on to the next topic? You ready to roll? All right.
Well, look, hey, Chip.
Yeah.
There's a topic that I have a personal interest in. That's that we have. I'd like to maybe take that out of the lineup and do it now. It's regarding the final person from the protests in New York being sentenced to a misdemeanor.
Oh, please do. So we'd love to hear it. So Randy, take the helm.
So if you would go ahead and read the introduction to it.
So wait, so which one are you talking about? Are you talking about update article or?
It's like the third one that you sent us. It's Lieutenant Richie Mack from New York City.
Okay, NYPD rookies. Okay, the
guys. No, not the rookies. NYPD lieutenant was assaulted on the bridge. This was very high profile during the George Floyd protests, and he was attacked, and it was on video camera. He lost his ability to be a police officer as a result of the attack. And the New York Post just did an article. I think that's what you posted for us to talk about.
Yeah, dude, it's the third one. When you sent the one you sent me with all the links, it's guys, on the left.
Video or update? I just need to know whether it's an update 1, 2.
It's an update. It's an update number 3. It's the second update, but it's number 3.
Okay. I got it. So I'm trying to see here if I've got update 3 here. I, you know what, guys, I don't have it. So I've got update 2 here, and sorry to do all this stuff. I'll try to pull it up after the next commercial break.
Okay. So
I don't have it preloaded. So,
okay. So This just happened last week. This is absolutely a disgusting. This is what happened here is Lieutenant Richie Mack, part of the NYPD. During the George Floyd, there was a confrontation on the bridge. This was very highly publicized, and he was attacked, and he was struck with an object above his eye, and as a result of that, lost the ability to see in that eye, and as a result of that, was forced into retirement. The individual that was charged, now this has been now 5 years, and originally the district attorney didn't even want to charge him, and eventually he was, and then they lowered the charge, and then they wrote them they because of the notoriety of the case, it went before the judge. Finally, the judge, even though there is no such thing as a misdemeanor assault on a law enforcement officer, the judge took it upon herself to make it a misdemeanor and gave the guy 50 hours of community service. He ruined this man's life and put him through incredible pain. And this is the effect of what's happening in America with the no consequences for attacks on law enforcement officers. This guy got 50 hours of community service, and the New York Post did a really nice article about it.
Wow. So I'm sorry I didn't have that ready to go, Randy. I think I sent that by mistake, but I didn't have that prep for the show. So I'm just being totally honest here, but thanks for, you covered that very well. So, and yeah, disappointing.
And Lieutenant Richie Mack is a part of the Wounded Blue Peer Advocate Support Team. He took that injury and he's using that to help other police officers around the nation.
Good. Yeah. And they're wondering why they're having a problem filling slots to be a police officer. I mean, that's really the knowing this from being a soldier, it's the same thing. I want to know that my command and everybody above me has my back. If I have to go do something on behalf of my nation and I've been trained, they trust me to do it, and I go out and do it, I want to know that I have the support. And when I see how police officers across the U.S. are being treated, how they're under scrutiny, like way more than I would ever be under scrutiny in the military. But still, I had eye in the sky watching everything I did. We still had to be careful. But the point is like, at least I knew that I wasn't going to be thrown under the bus for some political gain. That is horrible. And I wish it would stop. I wish there was a way to make it go away.
Well, that leads right into your other article, Chip, about the recruits and the rookies and everything else. You get what you pay for. And what they just did with this fire chief, or fire commissioner, you saw the movie Escape from New York?
Oh, yeah.
That's where this thing is going. They're going to just wall it off.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we go ahead and cover the New York one, if that's okay, because it is a good segue. We got about a minute and 45 seconds before we take our second commercial break, but GlobalOrdinanceNews.com, a judge orders 31 unqualified NYPD rookies to be reinstated after attempted firing. This still bothers me, having read this. So a judge on Tuesday ordered the NYPD to reinstate 31 rookie cops to the department who they were attempting to fire for allegations that they were unqualified to serve and therefore illegally hired. But wait till you hear what they did that made them unqualified. So the New York Supreme Court Justice Pedra Perry Bond directed the affected probationary officers to go back to active duty for NYPD. And in July, they were told to resign or face termination. The head of the department's candidate assessment division had allowed these applicants to attend the NYPD Academy despite various factors that disqualified them, including some had prior felony convictions. You've got to be freaking kidding me. Lying on their applications, failing to inform the department that their driver's licenses were suspended due to traffic infractions. and this is just the beginning, guys. Among the unqualified officers was one rookie who reported using LSD and marijuana to cope with stress, while another showed an extensive history of poor decision-making and recklessness. and guys, we're just going to start at the Police Benevolent Association, which I'm a little disappointed. They sued on behalf of these losers to obtain a court order blocking the firings. We're going to talk about all this and a lot more. We're going to finish the article when we come back with commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about one of Scott's favorite subjects. Yes, they're long guns, born from an aerospace engineering company. So you know these guys know what they're doing. Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been building or quietly building the AR parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being available to the to civilian market. So now you guys can start getting your hands on some of the Primo stuff and their M5 AR 308 platform. Spectacular. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Lieutenant Randy Sutton from the Wounded Blue. We've also got CEO Jeff Nicholas from Compliant Technologies and also Scott Steyer with Aero Precision USA. And, you know, we left off talking about another topic. It's our another update article. Let's see here. We've got the Police Benevolent Association is getting ready to weigh in, but we got a judge ordering 31. And someone's got to open mic, guys, if you can take care of this for me. Judge orders 31 unqualified NYPD rookies to be reinstated after attempted firing. And, of course, I already covered before the commercial break that some of these guys were convicted felons, and one dude was using LSD to help keep him calm and marijuana to cope with stress. And, just a whole, felony convictions, lying on applications, and not having driver's license because they're suspended due to the traffic infractions and stuff like that, kind of crazy stuff. The Police Benevolent Association, so the union, they sued on behalf of the rookies to obtain a court order blocking the planned firings, and the officers were placed on restricted duty after that. It goes on to say that the judge's ruling returns the impacted officers to active duty, but their time, now here's the caveat here. Their time on restricted duty, it does not count toward their 24-month probationary period, during which they can be terminated for any reason. So with us, with my agency, with Tampa, it's a 12-month probationary period. You don't have to have an excuse or a solid reason. You can get cut for like anything. But after you got your 1 year on, then you got that due process, right? You've got to be able to defend it. So these guys, they've been on restricted duty or admin duty or whatever you want to call it. It didn't count towards the 24 months. So they're going back and they're under that 24-month window. So they can still, I don't understand how that works, Randy, because, why put them back in work when they can just be cut loose for anything on probationary period? But maybe there's something about it I just don't understand. And the officers, after 24 months, they have recourse to the department trial and all that stuff. It talks about the head of the candidate assessment division, the inspector Terrell Anderson. This is the guy who allowed these guys to get in. He's been stripped of his gun and shield after investigators learned that they allowed the unqualified candidates to continue with the hiring process. I hate to even say they're unqualified. It's so much worse than that. I mean, convicted felons. I mean, it's just crazy. But anyhow, he's been transferred to another unit. But they say he's stripped of his gun and shield. So I'm assuming he doesn't even have arrest powers anymore. Earlier this year, Commissioner Jessica Tisch said that the NYPD is in a hiring crisis and reduced the number of college credits requiring to join the force. So incoming recruits, now they only need 24 college credits, which is a steep drop from the 60 previously required. So basically 15 a semester. So you're really talking about 30 college credits for like a 1 year worth of college, basically. And they're letting people, they went from a 2 year, basically having 2 years of college credits or the equivalent of a 2 year degree to less than 1 year now, 24 college credits, which is kind of a joke. You can probably get that much, in high school taking classes that are college equivalent. So Jeff Nicholas.
Well, maybe they're counting their jail time as an extension course in terms of college credit for that.
Wow.
Ooh, that's wow. Good. That's good.
Oh. You know, what stupid is stupid does. Watch New York City, watch California, watch the state of New York. They're loving to shoot themselves in the foot. And so I say that, you know, as a businessman, but my first and foremost loyalty is to the country. I don't mean to piss anybody off, but we're, as a nation, we're in trouble, and we need to come to Jesus meeting. I'll be quite honest with you. That's how I feel about it. It's just funny how the, you know, the Bible says in the last days, good will be evil and evil will be good. How in the world are we allowing convicted felons to put a badge on and even suspect that they're going to be able to implement the rule of law when they knowingly broke it? Unbelievable. I'm sorry. I can't support that.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, just typed a message to you on the private chat. So you get that. Anybody else on this one, guys?
Well, I'm real quick. It's like to Jeff's point. As soon as you plant that doubt, just like with the elections, you know, if once people start thinking they're rigged and, you know, and all this other stuff, you know, which is, you know, there's a lot of evidence for that. And then when people don't trust the law enforcement officer, it's almost like if there was a playbook on how to destroy a city, a country, that's what I would do. I'd let in 30 million people without being documented. I would do everything the whole voting thing. It's really scary. I don't like where it's going to go. And unfortunately, the people in New York are going to really, they're going to pay the price for this.
Yeah. Sad.
This is why I wrote the book, Rescuing 911, The Fight for America's Safety. I outline exactly what is taking place in America, why we have a criminal justice crisis, and this is now a generational issue. What's happening across America is law enforcement agencies, because they have devolved into what we have become now with the anti-law enforcement rhetoric and the dehumanization of law enforcement, they can't get the number of recruits, quality recruits that we used to get. So what are they doing? Doing just the opposite of what they should be doing, which is bringing the standards higher. They're lowering the standards. And as a result, they're getting people giving people the opportunity to get into the police world that should never have that opportunity. And this is going to become part of the self-fulfilling prophecy when they commit misconduct and corruption. And then the left says, you see, that's what those cops do. That's all part of the downgrading of this incredible profession.
Yeah. And the irony is if you spend the money up front, pay officers more, okay, to get a better group of people in, raise the standard. You know, they should have a higher level of hand-to-hand combatives. They should have a higher level of physical standards and all that. Do all that, take the time, spend the money, pay them more, get a quality officer. In the long run, less lawsuits, less wrongful, all that stuff. It's just going to be better across the board. As in the long run, you actually save money and you have a better police force.
Of course, we have Safeguard Recruiting as a sponsor, safeguardrecruiting.com, and that would be a perfect answer for NYPD. I wish they'd give them a shot. So if they're listening, don't make complaints about having the lower standards to get good quality cops. And I mean, being, you know, that liberal mindset is not helping you guys, you know, keep cops because, you know, you're turning your back on them and stuff. But if you want to staff it, get a hold of Safeguard Recruiting. So if you guys are ready, you're ready for the story with the video component.
So whatever you want.
This first one, rumble.com. This is Butters, is the name of our favorite law enforcement video channel. We have four people, including the suspect, are dead after a crime spree in Moore and in Oklahoma City.
Officers on a pursuit through the southeast part of the city. The pursuit ended when Hawthorne crashed into a concrete barrier on I-240 at Eastern Avenue.
He's going to be northbound on Eastern.
Yeah, he's going the wrong way on 240.
A supervisor terminated the ground pursuit and advised Air One to follow above.
Okay, guys, ramp is 1023, the pursuit, but Air One, keep up with it.
Hawthorne immediately exited the crashed vehicle armed with a firearm and began trying to carjack multiple passing motorists on the highway.
Hey, he's out. He's running. He's about to carjack somebody else. He's going eastbound on 240. He's trying to carjack people, guys.
While in the roadway and still attempting to carjack motorists, Hawthorne was struck by two separate vehicles.
Okay, he just got hit. He's right by the truck now. He's still on foot, though.
After being hit by the second vehicle, Hawthorne got back up, still armed with the pistol, when an Oklahoma City police officer shot him, stopping the threat.
18 shots fired. 18 shots fired. He's down. I can't see the gun. I can't see the gun. Show us your hands!
Show us your hands!
And I'm still hearing an open mic. If somebody can, if you guys can check your mics, and Jeff, if you can fix that for me. So Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, we've got the situation started around 4 a.m. on Saturday when more police responded to reports of shots being fired at an apartment complex. Now, when the officers get there, they see a male victim with a gunshot wound, and there's a female shooting victim that was pronounced dead at the scene. So this is going to, there's a lot of information in here, but you know, when the officers get there to the first one, a male that's been shot and wounded, female shot and dead. And now we got the Moore Police Department said officers responded around 7:30 a.m. on Saturday to a second incident, and they've got an unresponsive male in the parking lot after he suffered a medical episode. They don't go into a lot of detail on that. And after committing crimes in Moore, the suspect identified as 34-year-old Dante Hawthorne. He steals another vehicle at gunpoint around 8:55 in the morning on Saturday. And then at 12:24 p.m. the same day, police receive a call about a shooting. And when they get there, our bad guy Hawthorne, he shot and killed another victim. So we've got, you know, two dead victims been shot, one shot and wounded. And then we got this guy with a medical episode that was unresponsive. So bonafide bad guy here. So now the Oklahoma City police, they identify the victim as Lennox Richardson at 44 years old. So shortly afterwards, Hawthorne, our bad guy, that's killed two, injured one, and then we have a medical episode with a fourth. They see him driving a car, and he leads officers on a pursuit that ends in a crash on Interstate 240. He cuts through this grassy median, and he goes in the oncoming lanes. He hits the concrete median, and then he bails out of the car, and he's trying to carjack other cars. Now, it says that he ends up getting, you know, it's the wildest video, because you see this truck coming right at him, and he stands in front of the truck after trying to carjack a lot of other cars. And I have to believe that this guy saw him trying to do that, and he just plants this guy in the center of that freaking hood of that truck and rolls him right over the top and gives him a freaking ride, right? And then he comes to a stop. Our bad guy rolls off, and then this truck speeds away. Our bad guy goes over, picks up his gun just in time to be sideswiped by a second vehicle. And then while this is going on, we got a cop on the other side of the median in the lanes going in the opposite direction. He pulls up, he gets out, he's got a handgun, a pistol, but Scott, we got a guy with a freaking rifle. Thank God. I love rifles. So we got a cop on scene with a rifle, takes out the freaking bad guy, pronounced dead. I absolutely love it. We're coming up on our third commercial break. So we will we'll let Scott lead us off and talking about this when we get back. We've got multiple police agencies. We got one guy with a rifle. I love it. And guys, if you're listening to the show and you're command staff and you're not equipping your guys with rifles, you need to start doing it. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. You know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affieco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you if you have your own agency. If you're a chief or sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You go to gunlearn.com to get more info. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. And look, we're talking about some great things right now. I'm going to refresh your memory on the last story that we were talking about before commercial break. We are joined by Lieutenant Randy Sutton with the Wounded Blue. We've got CEO Jack Nicholas with Compliant Technologies, and also Scott Steyer with AeroPrecisionUSA.com. And look, we've had this bona fide bad guy. I mean, he's already killed two people. He wounded one guy, and that's all by gunshots. And there's a third guy with an unresponsive medical episode. He's stolen, carjacked two cars. He's in the second carjacked car now that's stolen. He's running from police, cuts across the grass. I'm surprised the police cruiser, which looked like an SUV, didn't fall him over the grass, but then he gets into the lane of traffic, oncoming lanes in like an interstate. and he loses control, hits the concrete elevated barrier median, and then he gets out on foot, running down the road, oncoming traffic, pistol in his hand, and he's going up to people's driver's doors and with a pistol, trying to carjack them, and they're speeding away. Finally, one wise guy, he sees what's going on. I guarantee you, he knew this guy was trying to carjack him, and you know, during the commercial break, I think it was Jeff brought up a good point. This dude, it wasn't like he was just driving or slowing down. He no doubt accelerated to take out the bad guy, square on the hood, rolled him over the top of the hood, and gave him a ride for a while. And it looked like a pretty decent velocity hit. I mean, it wasn't like a slow, like a 10-mile-an-hour hit. This was it was good impact, causing the bad guy to drop the gun on the interstate. So our civilian drives away. We never see him again. And as soon as our bad guy picks up the gun, another car goes by, sideswipes him. It looks like maybe the mirror on the side of the car hit him, knocked the gun down. And then we've got two cops that pulled up on the other side of a median with the vehicles going in different directions. One's got a pistol next to his cruiser, but it's the dude with the rifle that's on foot that takes out the bad guy. And that was impressive. And the bad guy dies. So Scott Steyer, break it down. And in the course of this, you got to tell us what aero precision, what tier rifle, what you would be outfitted with ideally in the situation like this, if you were the rifleman that was having to take out this bad guy.
Sure. Well, kudos to the officer. Again, I always say, when you have an opportunity, bring a freaking rifle. Okay. I mean, it's better terminal ballistics. It's way more, it's a lot easier to shoot accurately at moving targets when you're under stress and at distance, just all around better. And you have 30 rounds versus maybe a 17 or 20 round magazine and a pistol. So he came up there, and in looking at his setup, you can tell this guy, you know, I can tell a lot about an officer or anybody for that matter. When I look at their weapon, he had a light, he had the foregrip, he had, you know, all the wires were tucked in nice and neat. He had the light on there. He had a red dot. This guy, you could tell he took pride in his equipment. It looks like he used his equipment. He knew the limitations of his equipment, and he went up there. And because of that, he was able to eliminate this threat. It looked like, you know, it might've been 50 meters. It's hard to tell with a video, but he was still down in the grassy part. So, you know, he was able to get shots on target under stress while moving faster at distance. So great job there. It looks like what he had was probably like 11.5-inch barrel, which is something that I would, well, if I was in charge for a day, every officer would have the glove. And then they would also have like a 5.5-inch 300 blackout with a suppressor on there, light, laser, and a red dot, and it would be the tier one rifle, or actually our 300 blackout, which would be considered a tier two because of the trigger. But that's what I would have, fully ambidextrous. So you can, you know, and it has a short throw safety. You can, a bolt catch and release with your trigger finger if you had to. It's fully ambo. This thing is a souped up hot rod of an AR platform. It's got all the Springco springs. It's got the best BCG and bolt on the market. It's got a pin gas lock, everything you would want, top tier. That's what I would have. That would be the number one choice.
Oh man, I'm excited. That's just great. how do you follow that? So if you're watching the show and your command staff and your agency and your cops, and I'm talking about not just the supervisor, not just the corporal, you know, carrying the gun and he gets called out to the scene, every one of your guys has got to be outfitted with a rifle. And I'm not even talking about just having the opportunity to, if they want to get one or pay for it. You guys, if it was me, I'd want to have my own rifle. I'd want to buy it and purchase it myself. I've even with my guns and stuff, I've done that. But you've got to at least make them available to your cops and offer training for them to be able to use them. If you're not doing that, you're prehistoric behind times and you're opening up your agency for liability. And what Scott just described, it's a safer environment for law enforcement. It's safer for the civilians that you're elected, you know, or put in place to protect. It's just in today's climate, it's not even a choice. You've got, just like having the glove, it's not even a choice anymore. You're aware of the technology. You've got to take advantage and use it.
Yeah. And I'll caveat this. When you have that rifle, it needs to be accessible, not in your trunk. And I mean, I've seen so many videos where, you know, the officer will pull over and he needs his rifle now. He has to get out. He has to open up the trunk. Yet that's not the answer. Okay. I mean, if you're concerned about it or something, there needs to be a better way of locking it up. And I'm sure there is. It's probably like a policy thing, but you need to be able to grab that thing. And because it is a short barreled rifle, you can simply pull it out really, really fast. You can access it super fast. It's easy. It's right there. So.
Agreed. All right, Randy Sutton.
Well, I want to expand on the reasoning behind having rifles. And let's look at the terrorism threat in the United States. Who is going to be responding to the terrorism threat? It's not going to be the military. It's going to be local law enforcement. We have to give our officers the ability to survive. And the way to do that is to arm them properly and train them properly. And that includes with every possible device that can save their lives and can make them more effective in their response. And that's why one of the reasons why it is essential that every police agency in the nation take this seriously and arm their officers properly with a rifle.
I love it. I think you're absolutely right. Final words, Jeff Nicholas.
Well, I've never arrested anybody. I'm a military guy, but anytime you go into a conflict, you're supposed to go with greater force than what you're meeting. And so you need to have more power and be able to use it discriminately at your, like Scott said, you got to have it available to you. It's a simple, simple math and a simple tactics.
Yep. And if you look at the intel reports, they're saying that, you know, there is this high likelihood of future attacks, multiple attacks all at once by more skilled and trained terrorists that have come in under the Biden administration. Like, idiot. I don't know why you do that, but they're all over the place. That's not a maybe. That is a fact. Yeah. There are cells all throughout the United States and they are committed. Like, they will go down. That's the type of guys that Jeff and I saw overseas. Like, they will fight to the death, and that's what they plan on doing. They're everywhere in America. So the law enforcement needs to be prepared, like mentally prepared for the worst case scenario, and then have the tools at their disposal to be able to eliminate these threats quickly and save lives. That's what it's all about. It's about saving civilian lives, because the sooner you make that guy stop doing this, Now he can't kill anybody else, right? And the best way to do that is with accurate, deadly shots on target.
Love it. Love it.
You know, I think we can look at what took place in Australia a couple of weeks ago. None of those officers were armed with rifles. And that's because of the political environment in Australia. So now they're going up against these serious assailants with long guns who were, These are real, you know, no nonsense terrorists who intended to die that day. Well, it would have been better to hasten their death with a rifle instead of having to engage these guys from an elevated position with a handgun. How many lives could have been saved had those officers been armed the way they should have been instead of letting politics play?
Agreed.
So a street vendor had to fight their battle for him.
Another great show, gentlemen. We are out of time. Real quickly, Jeff, during the commercial, open up that microphone on Comply Technologies. How many deployments have you had? Because I said 250. I meant 250,000, but is that accurate?
Yeah, if you had training demos in real worlds were well over 100,000. If you had training and demos, we've been around for 7.5 years now, and no injuries, no lawsuits.
That was my next question.
Anywhere from 76 to 90% reduction in the costs associated with the use of force. Officer morale is going up. Retention rates are going up. Think of the money that you save on workers' comp lawsuits and medical expense, and just the overall atmosphere you're creating within communities. It's a game changer.
I love it. All right.
We need to grow.
Well, thank you. Hey, I want to announce the winner. We've got a bunch of entries here. And Kenneth Slack, I've got your email address. You're winning the $50 Goals gift card giveaway, so congratulations. I also want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in the world or hurt. Thanks so much to goals.com, complianttechnologies.com, aeroprecisionusa.com, gunlearn.com, medicare.life, safeguardrecruiting.com, twobells.com, and fisherlandobass.com. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.